morning. Hey, everybody loves an 80s movie, right? Well, at least some people do, yes. Most people, all right. 80s movies sort of have this look and feel, this certain aesthetic to them, right, as you're thinking about it. I mean, it's really the start of the big budget blockbusters. They got rom-coms, buddy movies, a lot of them. The theme is about, you know, coming of age. But there's one particular thing about 80s movies, that, you know, especially the iconic ones that they include, and that is a montage. A montage. What's a montage? Well, one particular comedy show that will remain nameless in the 2000s made fun of the 80s montage with a song about them, and here's how the lyrics go. They go, "To show us the passes of time, we need a montage. And with every shot, show a little bit of improvement so to show it won't take so long. That's called a montage." Now, hopefully you know what I'm talking about. It's a string of scenes that are sort of edited together with some, like, really energetic, you know, rock song playing in the background. And just think about some of the iconic movies that have an iconic montage. You know, Rocky, Eye of the Tiger, Flashdance, Maniac, Top Gun, of course, Top Gun, Danger Zone. And one of my favorites, one of the most iconic, and also one of the best mentor-mentee movies out there, that came from the 80s, you're probably thinking about it right now, The Karate Kid, right? The Karate Kid, Danielson, Mr. Miyagi, wax on, wax off, you know. You know, there's a pattern to all of these montages, right? There's sort of a pattern, and I propose that it's imitating something, like all good films, about life that's true, albeit highly edited and quite dramatized. What's happening in the montage? There's a struggle. There's trials. There's development. There's iron sharpening iron, as I think Todd mentioned earlier. And there's likely a coach or mentor involved in the process. I think we see that here in Scripture, men, with Jesus and Peter, don't we? We see it with Jesus and Peter, and we're going to talk about these guys here today. Early in Jesus' ministry, he calls Peter, at the time, what, a fisherman, and also named Simon as well, too, in his former life, to follow him and to become what? A fisher of men. And then a bunch of stuff happens, right? This is the stuff of Peter's montage. It's his montage. Maybe there was a song, like maybe a hyped-up version of Amazing Grace was playing in the background of his montage. Either way, you see that it really includes three things. You see a calling, you see developing, and then you see sending. So more specifically, a calling to mission, developing trust, and sending to bear fruit. You see those three things. So let's unpack that here this morning, men, for a little bit. First, let's talk about calling. In Matthew 4:18, we see Jesus calling Peter to become a fisher of men. Now, we toss around that word calling a lot, don't we? I mean, it can mean different things. I mean, you call an elevator, you know, elevator call button. It can be a theological term as well, too, when you first receive the Holy Spirit. Fancy word called effectual calling. More often, we use it more in a vocational sense, though, don't we, about calling? Like, I don't think I'm called into real estate, or I'm called to the pastorate, or something like that. But I think what Jesus is saying here, it's kind of like all of the above. Everything we just talked about, it's all that wrapped in one, maybe except the elevator one. Here's something important about Jesus' call to Peter, and this is important. It's a call to relationship. It's a call to learning. It's a call to accountability. And it builds trust. It builds trust. You know, you may have heard this talked about before, but back in these days, a Jewish man in these times would go and follow a rabbi, follow him around. It was honorable to get dusty. There's a certain saying about getting dusty, the dust of my rabbi's feet or something like that. You would give up your life, though, to do this work, to follow him in his ministry. We see here with Peter and the rich young ruler, he says, "Didn't we give up everything to follow you, Jesus?" He acknowledges it himself, that he's gave up a lot to follow Jesus. When we say follow me, it means a commitment. It means a commitment. It means taking on the character of that man whom you're following. And men, we should be seen mentoring in a very similar way too. You know, we can write someone's name down on a card and set up some one-on-ones, and that's a good step. That's a good practice. I think there's more to what Jesus is modeling for us here today. There's more to it. So maybe some of you are familiar with a framework here called situational leadership. Situational leadership. I'm not sure who came up with it, but a lot of businesses and ministries use it, and I think it's pretty helpful. And basically it's this, so that in any learning organization or any group of people that are going through a process to achieve some level of mastery, do these things, and it can be plotted conveniently on a square. I mean, some people call it the leadership square or the discipleship square. Well, the first point of that corner of that square, the starting point to the process, we find the invitation to the challenge. We find the invitation to the challenge. The mentee is what we would call unconsciously incompetent. Unconsciously incompetent. That's the first step. Basically, that means you don't know what you don't know. You didn't know that riding a bike was great exercise and a lot of fun until you were confronted, likely as a child, with how cool bike riding is. Like, whoa, I want to do that, right? But you can't do it. You are unconsciously incompetent. And this is Peter here, men. Jesus confronts him with an invitation to a challenge. An invitation to the challenge. Jesus sort of says this, Peter, you know fishing, right? You know fishing. You do that. You know how to cast your nets and catch all those fish, right? Well, if you follow me, if you trust me, we're going to do together the spiritual equivalent of that, right? Peter's like, okay, I guess so, Jesus, I'm going to follow you. I'm not sure what I'm getting into. Right now, I'm unconsciously incompetent. About to be consciously incompetent, right? That takes us to the second part of the journey, which is conscious incompetence. And that is, I'd say we would cue the music to Peter's montage at this point here. We would begin the montage. Peter starts to move, or I should say Jesus starts to move Peter from unconsciously incompetent to conscious incompetence. He now knows that he doesn't know. It might be like the first time that you went out golfing, right? A humbling experience. That's about my golfing career sort of ended in conscious incompetence there. But we see here the master mentor, Jesus, the master mentor, takes Peter through what? Through Scripture, a series of trials, developmental opportunities. He even yells at him a little bit. He rebukes him. But in all of this challenge that Peter's experiencing, Jesus is always right there, isn't he? He's always right there by his side, ready to help him out. And we see this in Matthew 14:28. And Peter answered him, Lord, if it is you, command me to come out onto the water. And Jesus said, come. So Peter got out of the boat and walked on water and came to Jesus. So Peter went out there into the water. But the master mentor knows something here. The good, good mentor. He knows Peter and his heart. He's attuned with him. He knows that Peter is a man who is bold at best and compulsive and fearful at worst. We all need to find out, is Peter's boldness superficial or is it the real thing? Is it rooted in a deep trust of Jesus? Well, let's see in verse 30. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid, and he began to sink, and he cried out, Lord, save me. Jesus immediately reached out his hand and took hold of him, saying, oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt, Peter? Why did you doubt? You know, when you're sinking in the water, you become quite conscious of your incompetence, right? The master mentor knew that, put Peter through that on purpose. He did this, though, not to shame Peter. This wasn't about shaming Peter, but it was to awaken him, sort of smelling salts, to his own weak spots, Peter's weak spots. Jesus is like, I know you, Peter. You always jump at the opportunity, and that's awesome. But when the going gets tough, and Peter, it's going to, will you trust me? Will you trust me when the going gets tough? Man, I think we see some implicit evidence, though, that Peter does sort of get it. He gets the hang of things over the time. And that brings us really to the third point of Peter's development here. The third point on the square, if you will, called conscious competence. We move to conscious competence. We sort of know what to do now, right? Generally speaking. I mean, this has to be the case because Peter is trusted to be in Jesus' inner circle, right? He's one of the three. You know, he's up there with the other two commenting and participating in Jesus' transfiguration there on the mountain. He's the one many times who's speaking for the disciples. And in the Garden of Gethsemane, when they all fall asleep, Jesus brings the issue not to everyone, but he brings the issue first to who? Peter, right? Why? Because Peter is becoming the leader through this process. Peter is becoming the leader in the good and the bad. There's accountability. There's relationship there. And again, accountability when he's missing the mark. Man, maybe you have been mentored. I know I have. Or maybe you've mentored somebody else, or you're in that process now. Hopefully you are. Maybe you've mentored someone into a place of better capability or greater competence. But at some point, you were just like, whatever the situation is, you're just not ready. You're just not ready yet. You've had to deliver those words. Maybe you had to say that to someone as a mentor, even that was said to you. You know, think about it. Maybe you're a mentor of a young whippersnapper who is rising through the organization, who is working the long hours, chopping the wood. Is that Mark Richt who said that? That's a Georgia Bulldogs thing. Chopping wood. And they wanted that next step or that promotion so bad. And you had to say, you're not ready. You're not ready. Well, friends, it's okay. When the going gets tough, sometimes we need a little more challenge. Or maybe we brought it on ourselves. We see Peter here in Scripture. He sort of takes a hard left turn. And when does that happen? Well, that happens around Jesus' arrest and his trial. Right? You know, he's a big tough guy right there with the sword. And then what? You know, he denies Jesus three times. Just a couple of hours later there, he denies him. He was just saying earlier, you have the words of eternal life. And this is quite disappointing, isn't it, men? We have to ask the question, was all this development work, all this, you know, what I poured into, you think Jesus is thinking this? I've done all this work just to be denied three times. Peter was not ready, of course, at this point. He was not ready. And men, we're going to struggle with this. We're going to struggle. Our mentees are going to struggle. We will disappoint them, and they will disappoint us. Expect it. Expect it. But remember what we said about all this, about calling, you know, that first step at the beginning. That calling was a calling to relationship, commitment, accountability. Despite Peter's lack of trust in Jesus, Jesus' trust in Peter never wavered. Let's hear that again. Jesus' trust in Peter never wavered. That's how Jesus feels about us. I mean, think about it. We see later in Scripture in John, look how Jesus engages with Peter on the other side of his resurrection, on the other side of Peter's biggest failure of denying Jesus when the going gets tough. He surprises him and the disciples with what? Breakfast. Breakfast. Fish over charcoal fire and some bread. He meets him with amazing grace. He meets you and me with amazing grace, but also a challenge.
What did he say? He said this three times. You probably know it. Peter, do you love me? If so, feed my sheep. He said it two more times. Peter, do you love me? You know what he was referencing there? You denied me three times. You're going to say you love me three times. Do you love me? Feed my sheep. If you're going to lead my sheep, if you're going to lead this church, you need to love me. You need to trust me. Remember that back on the water? Remember that? Peter was cut to the heart, man. And now Peter was ready. He was about to be ready. The final stage of this journey, step four. Step four, we get from unconscious competence, or I should say we go from conscious competence to now unconscious competence. It becomes second nature to us. We've now taken on the character of the mentor that we've been following. It's time to bear fruit now. It's time to be fruitful. Soon Jesus returns to the Father, sends the Holy Spirit, and then Peter preaches with what? Confidence, saying, repent and baptized and be baptized, every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. And what happens? Fruit, man. 3,000 people were added to the number that day. A first sermon, really, with Jesus not around in the flesh, right after Pentecost. This fruitfulness that we see now in Peter, imagine that just a couple years ago, this fruitfulness that we see in Peter now came from the montage. The montage, that hard-fought, failure-prone, but faithful trust, learned and modeled by the mentoring master, with the call to trust in the mentoring master, and the trust that was purchased by the blood of the mentoring master, Jesus. So men, in conclusion here, I ask us to ponder our own 80s montage here. What does it look like? What does it look like? Our own journey, either as mentors or as mentees, we're in that situation all the time, right? What does that call? What's the calling look like? What's the developing look like? And what's the sending to fruitfulness look like? It's built on Jesus and it's built on trust. Let me pray for us. Father God, Lord Jesus, thank you for this time this morning. You are the master mentor, Father, you just don't give us an example. You've bought the trust, the faith for us by what you did on the cross. You bought the relationship through your sacrifice. And so now we're reconciled to God. We're reconciled to everyone around us. And we ask that we just would grab a hold of this power today in a new way and pour that out for the sake of the flourishing of the men and the people in our midst. We pray these things in your name. Amen. Go enjoy time at your tables, men. Thank you.